parts. Hello? Who's on?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Howard.
It's Howard. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. How's your day going?
Yeah. Hey, great.
So this is, we're getting into what I call the fun area, I think. At least for me it is. Acquisition. We are on we're technically on week 9. Is that right or no?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm a numbers guy. You know who Nick Murray is, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the one thing I like about some of these old school guys is, you know, numbers don't lie, right?
Right.
And one thing I like about what Nick Murray says is, and you may know this already, but finding your in. Do you know that philosophy? You heard about that?
Finding your in?
Yeah, finding your in, like the letter in. So what he says is that out of some number of attempts or some number of, whether it's a call, whether it's a meeting, whatever, some number of prospects, you're going to get to some number of meetings. And right. Out of that number, you're going to get to some approaches. He calls that some number of approaches, you're going to get to some number of meetings, and some number of meetings, you're going to get to some number of closes. He says, once you find your in, what that number is, it is the number of approaches it takes to get a meeting. I think, I still kind of have a cold mentality in that it's going to take some number of approaches to make a contact, someone who listens, right? And it's going to take some number of people who listen to agree to meet. And it's going to take some number of people who agree to meet to agree to go with you. And it's going to take some number of people who agree to go with you to have, to get to the asset level. So anyway, the acquisition stuff is what I get off on. So I think this is cool. But, this is absolutely, Rob, where I am weak, and I'll admit I'm weak. I'm weak in that I don't leverage my existing book to get referrals and et cetera. So anyway, so this is a good growth opportunity for me.
Well, and here's the thing that I'm sure Nick talks about, which is really important, is when you find your N, we'll call it whatever it is, N.
Right.
When you find it, then the question is, how do you improve your closure rate?
Right.
How do you improve that N, right? So N, you don't need as many, that number can go down.
Yes. Yep.
And you can maintain or even increase the number of closes.
Yes.
Because now, how are all the different ways you can improve your N? Let's just list them, right? It's not an infinite number. It's not an infinite number of ways you can improve your N.
Right.
So, give me one.
Let's see. I have a better sales process. Are we talking closes, pure closes? Or are we talking,
it's a continuum, right? It's a continuum. How do you improve the end, which we'll call the entire continuum?
Yeah. So for me, I think it would be just what you got laid out here. Leveraging my clients, right? Leveraging COIs, mastermind groups, niches.
Okay, so what will that do, though? What will that do for you?
It's going to give me more at-bats. It's going to give me more, it's going to help me perfect my presentation skills, I guess. It's going to help me
with that. Yeah, you're talking a couple different things here now. Try and narrow it down to one thing. And then we'll list the different ones.
Okay, so if I just go through the, well, for me, part of it's time management. So I need to get make sure I've got a certain amount of time dedicated each week to pure prospecting.
Right. But that's going to get you to the beginning of the process. Let's just talk about the process. So I'll give you a couple starters here to get you thinking.
Okay.
All right. So by giving better client service and improving the client experience overall, you're going to get introductions. Right? So,
yes.
So now we've got an introduction. How can we improve the introduction? The way we'd improve the introduction is we train our clients.
Okay.
So one way is to train our clients. You want to improve the closure rate, right? So you want better introductions. How do you do that? You train your clients. You don't think about that, but that's what you need to do.
Right.
All right. So how do you train your clients? You train your clients by teaching them what you do.
So speaking of that, I wanted to talk to you about this today, and you can kind of dovetail into what we're talking about. So my client is a guy named his name is Rod Woodford. His son is married to one of the handful of backup singers for Taylor Swift.
Yep.
So that's not a niche of mine, so to speak. But at the same time, he's got a couple million with me. We've got a good connection because he's an old banker from the South, as my father was. So they actually used to work for kind of a sister organization. He doesn't know my father personally, but they know the same. Anyway, so he and I get along well. I have certainly not asked for an introduction to Taylor Swift, nor have I asked for an introduction to his son. But what I am doing tomorrow is taking in the folders. And he's going to be blown away. I'm sure he will be. We're meeting at a private club here in Tyson's for lunch. And then afterwards, we'll duck into a private. They have little office spaces that you can meet in. We'll duck in there, and I'm going to go through the process with him. There's a lot of updating work, especially with regards to, you know, all of his, what do you call them? The, hold on, I'm looking at my stuff here. The endorsed people, what do you call them?
Enthusiastic
endorsed providers. So anyway, so this is a good segue. How do I get an introduction to his son, and or is that the right thing to do? And, you know, obviously it's fresh with other people, but what if I wanted to, you know, work through his, actually be his daughter-in-law? You get my point. What are your thoughts there? And is that a realistic thing to try to do? You get to Taylor Swift or people in that industry. What do you think?
No.
$170 million last year. I know that touring.
I know her dad. He's a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch.
You know what?
I said I know Taylor Swift's dad. He's a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch.
Are you kidding me?
No. They live in Nashville. And,
are you kidding me? I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. No,
okay, well, never mind that.
Well, I mean, that might save you a little time, but
yeah. I had no idea. That's funny.
I covered that market, you know, so that was
okay. Well, let me write that in.
I had the Midwest district, and so I covered 14 states. So I know a little bit of what's going on in that part of the world. And,
That is so funny. Wow. Does he do a lot of business with those types of people? He must, right?
He's done very, very well. Yeah.
The best. Wow.
Yeah. He's a very good guy, and he kept her out of trouble.
Yeah. That's gotta be tough. My daughter's a very talented singer, and I've kept her away from being tested for that, so to speak. I worry about that, right? If you ever went the professional route along that line, those lines, I mean, so much risk in that, right, for your kid?
Well, I think he just has to keep them, you know. He kept her, and she agreed to be, you know, remain a reasonable person in that world.
Yeah, yeah.
My daughter's in television, and she works with, yeah. So she works with some. She produces the Ben and Kelly, or Kelly and Ben show. Kelly Pickler's a very talented singer.
Oh, yeah,
from Mary Hill, right? Right. And she was on, she's from Albemarle, North Carolina, a very tiny town. And so she's got a TV show on daytime television, and kind of won the hearts of a lot of America because it's a very wholesome show. And unlike the crap that's on TV.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. Agreed.
So my daughter is an executive producer for them.
Wow.
And so so there's a perfect example of somebody that has maintained her natural love and maintained her integrity.
Yeah.
So let's go back to our training session here on how do you improve your closure rate.
Yeah.
Training your clients. So you got to teach them what you do, and you got to teach them how to introduce you. All right, so what you do and how you do it and for whom you do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and for whom. Very important. You don't want them introducing you to people. See, what happens is you're going to get very good at introductions. You're going to get very good at helping at getting your clients to introduce you to people. The problem is they'll introduce you to the wrong people unless you train them.
Right.
Think of them as your sales force, right? And so think of them, so when, if you had a sales force of young people, what was the first thing they'd do? They'd try and open up a lot of small accounts, right? So you'd have to be all over them and say, look, your minimum is my minimum. My minimum is your minimum. You cannot open small accounts. They don't do us any good. Right? And so they go, okay. Because human beings are going to make life easy for you. They want to make you happy, so they're going to give you small referrals.
Right.
Which does you no good. Right? So everybody gets excited about introductions, and then they get disappointed because they don't get any big ones, and so they quit. So what we want to do is we want to train the entire sales force, which is our client, so that when they... So you don't have to think about, how do I get this guy to introduce me? All right? Every client knows what their job is. Job is to introduce you.
Man, that's a big transition for me to just get those people thinking like that. I have not tried to knock on that door enough.
Okay. All right, so here's the mentality you have to have in order to get them to do that. You have to make it your job to introduce them.
Okay.
So your job is to introduce them. Their job is to introduce you.
Okay.
So when I ask you what your job is, I want you to tell me your job is to introduce people to other people and to be a connector and to help them. Okay.
Okay.
So you got to find out what they need and then connect them.
Okay.
And then you got to train them. So you've got to find out what they need, and they've got to find out what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to teach them what you need through your training program for them.
Okay.
Okay? So the next time I ask you, what's your job, what are you going to say?
I like the connector. I'm a connector. I introduce people to other people.
Right.
Hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good. Lock it in. There's a book. There's a book. A cute little. It's a short little book. On this subject. It's called the Go Giver instead of the Go Getter. It's called the Go Giver. Okay.
Okay.
So read it. And they talk about the connector in there.
Okay.
That's you. That's who I want you to become, the connector.
Okay.
All right.
I like it. So what, tell me about what your top clients are doing in that space. How are they, what is their process?
It's amazing. I mean, they're brilliant at this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they spend their whole time doing. I have one team in New York. They were entrepreneurs, two entrepreneurs. They came into our business with enough money, sold their business, but liked this business. They both came in separately, found each other, joined up, and now work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
They work with entrepreneurs. They know exactly who they work with. That's why I want you to concentrate on who you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you, your niche is this mastermind of professionals serving the lobby industry or lobbyist. Okay, don't get away from that. Don't talk about celebrities and, you know, all this other crap. Concentrate on what you do with whom you do it. That's really important. They even have in their, website, that's what they do. All they do is work with professionals and entrepreneurs and help them with their businesses. That's what they do.
Now, most of my...
They work with entrepreneurs. All right? So working with entrepreneurs, who are they? How do they get them? They work with a group of CPAs and attorneys that work with entrepreneurs. Now, they do some other sexy things, but that's not the point. The point, you know, is not how cute, cool they are. The point is, what are their fundamentals? The fundamentals are that they, after taking my class and working with me, they started to meet with their centers of influence regularly, every month, in person, every month, right? And it's just exploded their business. So they'll bring in $100 million a year.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. They use they hand the client the folder when they're a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Each center of influence has a folder. Each center of influence becomes a client. So they teach them what they do and how they do it. They teach their clients and they teach their centers of influence what they do and how they do it, what their minimums are. And they really get good at doing what they do. That's the other point. They're really good at helping entrepreneurs. And they help all kinds of entrepreneurs. They'll help entrepreneurs even when they know they're not qualified. They just help them because they're good people. They're really good people. They won't take them as a client, but they'll introduce them and help them and solve their problems for them. And then, you know, 5 years later, the people, when they get their money, they circle back and find these guys and hire them. Because they're genuinely good guys.
You mean the prospects hire the advisors.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
But that takes that mentality of the connector. See, it takes that, the giver, the go-giver, you know, it takes that mentality of I'm out there to help people.
Yep.
Now, so the second way you improve your closure rate, the first way is to train your clients. The second way is to train your centers of influence. So you treat them like they're your sales force. So you've got to take time with them. They have to know. You have to go to their office and meet their people, and they have to come to your office and meet your people. They have to see what you do and how you do it and who's a good fit for you and who's a good fit for them. That takes time. It takes 4 or 5 meetings.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to do that.
Okay.
All right, so we improved our closure rate by getting introduced to people that are highly qualified by people who have high credibility. So we improved 2 things, the quality of the people that we are being introduced to and the quality of the introduction.
Quality
number 3,
2, and quality of introduction.
Yeah. The quality of introduction and the quality of the person that introduced us, the credibility of the person that, it's really the credibility of the person that introduced us.
I see.
That's going to dramatically improve your closure rate.
So how are you going about, you're just saying almost kind of a judge of character of the introducer. Is that right? A little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
The character and credibility.
Yeah.
Meaning if this guy introduces you, the person says you must be great.
Right.
He has so much credibility.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the third thing we're going to do is we're going to get introduced in person.
Okay.
All right, if we can't be introduced in person, we're going to get introduced on the phone.
Not by email.
And last, by email. Yes, we will take email. But as in any closure, you know, we're trying to improve our closure rate, right?
Sure. Yes.
So think of it as a game. Yes. That you would be judged on how quickly you close clients.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so somebody else takes a year, and you can do it in 30 days. And they go, how the hell did you do that? And you tell them.
Yeah.
Well, now, in that introduction, we have to train our clients how to introduce us and our COIs. Not only would you train them on what you do and how you do it, but how to introduce you.
Okay.
All right, and there's a process for that, which I need to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Where you always maintain control of the conversation. You never let it out of your hands.
So how's that happening?
Well, we all do. We all screw this up, right? I had a guy tell me today, I got a list of 20 names and 20 phone numbers. And
he got a list of 20 names and 20 phone numbers is introductions from, is that what you say?
From one client, right? And they all have 5 million or above.
Wow. But
okay.
There's no introduction whatsoever.
But no, and the guy would not introduce him.
Oh, he wouldn't.
So, no.
I'll give you names and phone numbers, but it's up to you.
That's right. Well, the problem is he has a conflict because he's a banker. Okay? And they're supposed to be his clients.
Wow.
I mean, not his per se, but the bank's clients.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is your client that's gotten a list of 20 names and numbers from his client. So what did you tell your client to do then?
I told him that we got to do more homework. We got to Google these guys. We got to figure out. We got to get on LinkedIn. We got to find out if we connect anyway to any of them.
Yeah.
We gotta find out what business they're in. We gotta, you know, and then we gotta get some way of getting introduced to them through a product or service that would be interesting for them. And then, you know, in the end, it's no more than a warm call. You know, it may even be a cold call.
Right.
But it's not very valuable to us because we could get the same list from, you know, pretty going to take the work, but we could probably get the same list, right?
Yes.
So
somehow.
Yeah, somehow we could get it. So that isn't what we want, right?
Yes.
And that's what we end up getting from most people. What we do is, for example, I've got a name for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, I actually have a name for you. His name is Stu Van Skoyk. He's a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. I know he does very well. His wife and my wife went to school together at Cedar Crest College, and they were friends, okay? And he came down, we saw them once or twice, since they got married, but that's been, you know, 40 years. So, but I know he has money, and I know you do business with lobbyists. He focuses pretty much on Democrats, so he's been sort of out since Trump came in, but he did very well under the other administration. Anyway, and he's a nice guy. I don't know if you've ever met him or know him or heard of him or whatever.
It does ring a little bit of a bell, actually.
Van Skoyk, yeah, he's pretty nice guy.
Van Skoyk, VanSkoya?
VanSkoyk or something like that. V as in Victor. Van Skoyk.
Okay. V-A-N or E-I-N?
V-A-N.
Yeah. Van Skoyk. That's okay. I have to look him up.
Van Skoyk. I-C. So it's probably Slavic, you know, or Skoyk. Slovenia or something like that. Not sure. Anyway,
I think I told you, I'm trying to get my my client, we may have talked about this. Yeah, we talked about John Boehner, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get Locke to introduce me to him. But anyway. Okay.
Sure.
Back to work.
Well, look, the answer is, look, you know, we're all, these guys are massive connectors. They understand their business, right?
Yeah.
And they can teach you the business that we're in. Right. How do you connect people? How do you make people? Right. And that's what you really want to do. And that's fun. It's a completely different way of working though. Yeah. Than cold calling. I mean, it's just a different way.
I will say my primary business is not lobbyists. Most of my clients are they own businesses, somehow, some way. Or they're CEOs.
Okay.
And yeah. But I mean, certainly lobbying in this town is a viable and I think Rob does a good bit of lobbying work. Is that correct? I think he's Rob Reich, maybe?
I don't know. That hasn't come up. It hasn't come up. But it came up with you and I, and so I just put it down as a way of...
Certainly an avenue. Yes.
Yeah. I think when we did our top 20, they kept coming up.
Yep.
And they're businessmen, right? They own businesses. That's what
They're entrepreneurs to a certain extent, absolutely.
All right, so how else would you improve your closure rate? All right, so we got better introductions.
References.
We got the introduction, right? We got to meet him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're meeting. Now we got a chance to meet with the client, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knows what we do. We've been referred to him by a credible source. How can we improve the closure rate in that first meeting?
References? Or does that make a difference?
Did he ask for him? Yes.
Okay.
But we've already been referred by the most important person.
Right. Okay.
You know?
So, yeah. I think now you're improving your own credibility.
Right. How do you improve your credibility?
I think knowledge, exhibiting knowledge and experience, and from I know we're not supposed to compete on performance, but maybe a philosophy and message. Well, also the process, right? Explaining.
Bingo. See, everybody else does those first three things you said.
Yep.
Okay. They want to show them how smart they are, how great their performance is.
Yep.
You know, how long I've been in the business.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So in order to differentiate yourself, you have to say something different, right?
Right.
So what's going to be different? And I'm not saying this because it's my job, because I
know it. Yeah.
But Supernova does differentiate you in the market.
Yeah.
So it's financial planning, 1242, and rapid response to your problems.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you say that, and you say it properly, and then you hand them a folder, you're way different from anybody else.
Okay, so you're saying at first, the first meeting to get a prospect, Whatever you get it. Take a folder to the meeting with their name on it, et cetera, right? And hand it to
them. Just as if they open an account.
Okay.
These kind of the assumptive clothes.
Yeah, I like it.
You know? Hey, right? You've been introduced by a guy that we both think is the world of.
Yeah.
He says you're fabulous. He says, I'm fabulous. We need to meet. We meet.
I'm gonna
assume that you're who you say he says you are, and that this is going to work. We're going to interview each other. And at the end of the meeting, if I think this is a good match, I'm going to hand you a folder and say, look, if you choose us, this is how we'll work together.
Yeah. Nice. You can do that with any type of meeting, for that matter, right?
Absolutely.
Whether it's a referral or whether it's, you know, drive the degrees to, however you get the meeting, you can do that.
Absolutely. And you should do that with your centers of influence.
Yeah.
Because you're training them on what you do for clients.
Right.
So you want to treat them just like they're a client.
Like it.
Okay, it's very powerful. Won a $60 million case from these two guys. Handing in the folder won the case. Handing in the folder won the case. There were five people in the beauty contest. They were third in line. The guy was so taken by the service. Nobody else talked about service or had ever talked about service. And when they handed him the folder, he looked through it and he went, stop, wait a minute, what are you talking about? So he's looking for all your clients? Yes, all your clients. So you give every client gets a financial planner, the client gets 1242, every client gets rapid response, and this is the folder you use to take notes, and this is where the agenda goes, this is where the executive summary goes. This, yeah, so you're going to treat me like I'm the CEO and you're the CFO, and this is on the board, oh, this is a board meeting, right? Right. Okay, I'm hiring you. He doesn't know performance from the moon, right?
Yeah.
You can tell him all you want how great your performance is, so is everybody else. You can tell him how experienced you are and how smart you are and what you're a CFA and you got all this shit. And he doesn't care. Okay? He cares about the fact that you're going to take time with him and help him and talk to him every single month.
Yeah. True enough.
Okay.
It's a great differentiator. Yeah, for sure.
That's how you improve your closure rate. You see, you see why I'm frustrated I get with training FAs when this is the answer?
Yeah. I caught myself. I was going down the road. But, I mean, it kind of becomes evidence, right? Wait a minute. Anybody can say that. They get, you know, this is why we're doing this.
Right. Well, it's what the clients care about.
Yeah.
When we asked the clients what they wanted, they said they wanted a multi-generational plan, wanted 12 contacts, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and they wanted rapid response to their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just be just geniuses and give them what they want?
Great. Now, how do you go about, in what format do you give the client the next, let's say 6 months? So I'm just introducing, getting folders for this guy tomorrow. So I'm not going to deal with Taylor Swift's account, so we got that handled.
Next.
But that's so funny, your dad's in that face, that's great. And you know him?
Yeah.
Good guy? What's he, yeah, no, I'm curious, what do you think he's got ballpark in assets?
I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah. You work with him?
But I work, my buddy, Rob Schaefer was his manager, the other coach for Supernova.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
He was the manager of Nashville. Yeah.
Okay. And that was, let's see, UBS, Payne Weber bought J.C. Bradford.
Yep.
Yeah, and then UBS, yeah. That's a good market, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. A long market. Yeah.
So, in what format do you go over the 12-month plan or the 24-month plan?
Oh, I think you can, it's right in the folder, right? You can put it right in there and just say, hey, this is a topic. Now, this isn't going to be our, you know, this is the way we introduce topics that may not be at the top of the list of your to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do your financial plan, we're going to knock off the most important things first. But down the road are going to be things like long-term care, which you may not even care about or need.
Yeah.
But you want to be able to at least understand it. Okay? And so we're going to introduce it. We're going to introduce lending to you. You may have paid off your mortgage long ago and not be interested. But guess what? Your children are, or your grandchildren are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to know the different ways of borrowing and expenses and how to handle it and all that stuff. So we're going to introduce topics of interest every month. This is our calendar. We're going to stick to this calendar. If it isn't appropriate for you and you want to skip over, it's fine.
Okay. Perfect. Good.
Okay. So, have you started building the enthusiastically endorsed list?
I have, you know what, I went to a boat show yesterday, took my son, and it was the Bay Bridge Boat Show. So I've got what's that?
Right.
Yeah, and I actually met with a guy who owns a company called Total Marine, and I did not even know that they were here now in the Maryland area. His business partner in Connecticut is actually a prospect of mine. So it's kind of cool. So I'm gonna, give me another avenue to go, and there's some surprisingly big boats there. I was pretty shocked. I mean, there were a few prestige yachts in the 80-foot range. Four or five, million-dollar boats. You know this community. This is actually a pretty good show. So I didn't do too much prospect. But you know what? I had my son is six. I got a 14-year-old and a 6-year-old. Got started a little bit late. But you know what? People would ask me for my card, and I said, I told my son I wouldn't be doing too much business. And they were like, hey, let me give you my card. Let's talk. Let's talk. And a couple people heard me say, Wells Fargo. I was shocked, and they turned around and said, so, actually, you know what? I'd like to talk to you. It was weird because I wasn't trying, if that makes sense.
Right.
I was almost kind of downplaying it, and I was, for my son's sake. And they wanted to talk to me more.
Right.
Maybe I should do it that way. I didn't see him either at all. I was like, and I honestly, I didn't even have any cards with me. I told him, I'm not going to take cards. We're just going to look at books. So I've got, several leads. Point being, that's just another avenue. Here's the other thing. So it occurred to me while I was there, I have approached and I had a shot with some car dealers, a couple of car dealers actually, and did not bring them on as clients. But I know that we do a lot of floor planning for car dealers, and it occurred to me, why would I not go through our floor planning group and try to get to get a meeting with every single dealer? And those guys, they all have money. They're a little bit interesting crew, right? We talked about this
before. Right.
Car dealers, but they've all got money.
They all fly airplanes and they all spend too much money, but they're good guys.
Right.
They're good guys.
Exactly.
They usually have a community, a lot of community involvement. And that's another good way to get to them.
Right. And so I was like thinking in my mind, because we don't do a whole lot from the yacht lending industry, but we absolutely do floor planning. So just kind of light bulb went off. I'm like, okay, I need to go through that group and make sure there's not any leverage, right? Because, I mean, it'd be very nice to walk into or be introduced to an owner through the dealer group, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway.
I think that's smart. That's smart.
Why not? I mean, if you already do business and there's a good relationship there, I mean, we'll see. This is not, that's not brain surgery, so I'm sure that a lot of people have tried that, but,
Okay, so to sum up, this week, it's interesting. Determine the number of prospects you need to meet your goal. That's isn't that fun? You bring up Nick Murray, and there's the number, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so you need to determine the number of prospects you need to meet your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Identify someone to start your mastermind group.
Mm-hmm.
And then choose two or three others to help form your group. I really want you to work on your centers of influence before you start on this mastermind business.
Okay.
That's at this point, that's too complicated.
Yes.
But these two guys, by the way, have two mastermind groups.
Okay.
And they're amazingly successful. Okay?
Okay.
So we want to go there. If they can bring in $100 million, you can bring in $100 million. So the question is, right. And then complete building center of influence, niches, and social networking are folders. So you want you to build folders for each one of those centers of influence, niches. So when we say, okay, what are your niches that you're working on? And I don't think it's, I shouldn't be thinking that it's lobbyists, and you're thinking it's car dealers. You both should know what your niches are and how we're pursuing those. Okay.
Yeah.
So as your coach, I got to know what your niches are.
Fair enough.
All right. And so you build a folder for each one of them, so that you have something to work from. And inside each folder, you should have at least one center of influence.
Okay.
Okay. So inside the group of car dealers, you want to develop one person that loves you and wants to refer you to others.
Yeah.
Or it's really not a niche for you. It's an idea of a niche.
Correct.
Okay. So inside your, when we look at entrepreneurs, there needs to be a center of influence inside there that's willing to refer you. And when we look at lobbyists, there's got to be a lobbyist there that's willing to refer you.
Yeah.
Okay? And if there isn't, then we've got to develop them. And we've got to train them.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right? So that's your homework. Now, you asked for a couple of weeks to get
caught up. Yes, sir.
Caught up, and we're going to do that, right? We're going to skip next week, and I think we even skip the following week. Yeah, so we'll give you 2 weeks to get all this done. All right, so you've got 2 weeks to get all this done. Is that enough time?
It is. Yep.
Okay, good. All right, good. All right, Howard.
Thank you, Rob.
Great talking with you, buddy. All right.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.